Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey there, everybody. Roy Scovel here.
And Daniel Van Kirk.
We just want to let you guys know that if you enjoy Pen Pals, our podcast that comes out every single Wednesday, then you might enjoy bonus episodes in our Patreon that come out every single Monday.
That's 4 episodes a month. It's only $5, and they are all follow-up letters, so we hear back from our Pen Pals about whatever they're going through or sandwiches that they love or whether or not they like their new haircut. We hear from them, we read their letter, and then you hear them as well.
Yep,
that's it, right?
That's it. And okay. It's at Patreon.com/penpals.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. Maybe we can keep in touch.
Like when?
Like it did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago.
Right before we started, Jay was like, I've been in 8 musicals. And when someone's a comedian, you don't know what's real.
Right.
But then when you hit those notes Ooh. Just now, I was like, you know what?
That was butter.
I played Tony in West Side Story.
Really?
When is this?
Well,
in your life
it was when I was 17 before my balls dropped.
Got it. So you could do it.
But
you
I had braces. I had braces, and I stood up in front of my whole school and sang that song, Maria. And I, in the middle of it, I was like, I've made a horrible mistake.
You went Job. You went full Job. Oh, wait. And then what was the, walk me through the other ones. What was the most recent one at end of college?
After high school, I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
I'm never singing in front of people again.
Yeah.
But you did 7 more.
Before that. Before.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I started my career. Well, actually, I was feeling a little blue my freshman year, and I'm like, I don't know about this school. And my sister's like, you should try out for the musical. And I'm like, oh,
interesting.
Musical. Fix. She was an extra in the musical.
Okay.
Gotcha. And she's like, it's pretty fun.
It's fun.
You meet people. I'm like,
and you can
okay.
blend. You can easily blend.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I try out for the musical. I can't remember which one it was. And I don't make it. Like, not even in the chorus.
Not even
in
the chorus.
And I'm like, motherfucker, look out.
Now you're fired up.
Now, so next time I come back for Brigadoon, a Scottish musical.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm going full tilt. And I get a part. And I get to sing a single line, which is basically what happens is some guy has mistreated the young lass.
Sure.
And so me and a group of guys, kind of a posse, are going down to to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And my
Which is
line.
Great for your West Side Story later on. Yeah.
I'm in a kilt. I'm on stage in Lake Forest, Illinois.
Yes.
And I say, I'll go down to the creek, and by God, if I see him, I'll throw him in it.
Yeah.
Love it.
And I was hooked.
Yeah.
Oh.
And here I sit.
Also, I didn't know you were Lake Forest.
Yeah.
Lake I'm Forest. Rochelle, Illinois, just south of Rockford.
There you go.
Lake Forest is wonderful.
Yeah.
Beautiful little town.
Just because this video is not until Friday.
Friday.
So you are currently listening. And from what we now know,
our guest names don't just pop
sometimes,
up.
Sometimes, yeah.
There was a long time we didn't introduce guests because we'd always go,
you saw it.
You clicked on the thing, and you already
found
read
out
the name.
Certain apps, or depending on how you go through, there's like
and then
six ways
our listeners had our listeners told us, they go, the names aren't listed on the title. So we've just had guests that people were like, I guess that was Jay. Our guest today, you guys have seen him and you love him and you know him from mm-hmm. so many various Broken Lizard stuff. Super Troopers being one that fucking, sweet spot in my heart. Mm-hmm. That when you see someone in a movie where it looks like Friends are like making a movie and it's fun. I get this with like Mr. Show too. And you just go, oh, Friends got together and made a movie.
Yeah.
That's why you even get into comedy, because you think you can just meet friends and make a movie. And then when people do it, you're like, well, that's what I want to fucking
it's
do.
It's a miracle that we got to make that movie with my friend from college.
Yeah, exactly.
My friends from college. And then I think we've made 9 of them.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's
I always felt like your
insane.
Character, too, is often a straight man, but with a knife. Like, you have your own, like, odd frequency and energy that you're operating on, too.
And a lot of that comes from Brigadoon.
Yeah,
a lot
it does.
Of that's Brigadoon carryover.
That is Brigadoon.
A lot of it really is a reaction to the humiliation of being Tony.
Really?
I am like, I'll act,
sure.
But not too much.
Right.
You know, you're not going to get full emotion from this guy anymore. I'm going to be the straight man with the knife.
Yeah.
I love it.
Jay Chandrasekhar is with us in studio, and you got a movie coming out.
On Hulu, we have a Broken
a
Lizard
trailer
movie.
Is dropping.
On the 20th of March.
When does this come out?
The 22nd.
Oh.
So it's just dropped.
Perfect.
You can go look at it right now.
It just dropped.
Yes.
You can go watch the trailer. What's the name of it?
Quasi. For Quasimodo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 12th century French film. There's a hunchback, and that's Quasimodo.
Mm-hmm.
And I play the King of France, and my friend Paul Sutter plays the Pope. And it's a big political kind of violent thriller.
I love this.
This is great.
Swords and sandals and death.
Yeah, and a knife. You'll always have a knife.
Where'd you do it?
We did it in Santa Clarita, California. We built some interiors for a castle, and we shot some of it over in Ireland. But it's you know, at times the rich people in the movie, which is like the King and the Pope mm-hmm. and everybody, they all have British accents, and the town people have American accents.
Yeah.
But at times you're like, I'm in the middle of a Python movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of a like,
yeah.
And of course people are going to be like, you're not as good as Python. And I go, yeah, I agree. But right. We're still in
good news. None of us are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so you know,
yeah, no
whatever
is.
You go to
yeah.
do, not also
no
not.
Right.
Good.
Yeah, also not.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Right. But we're, you know, it feels like a lost Python movie at times. To
I
us.
Love
to
that.
Us.
Another
to
great us. Example of friends just being like,
yeah,
we are making a movie.
Yeah. And we had the conversation. We're like, we're going to get compared and insulted for it. And we're like, yeah, let's do it anyway.
Yes.
I think,
let's do
yeah,
it anyway.
At some point you're like, ah, fuck it. I don't care.
You can't.
Yeah.
And also, wouldn't you rather be in this place personally where you're like, I feel like we kind of touched the rope a little bit versus yeah. Hopefully
we
people.
Said no.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're in the right spot. Everybody
it's
else.
It's sort of like, you know, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan.
Yeah.
And
well,
and they won, initially they won 5 championships.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sixth, when they were going for the sixth, I would mock my New York friends and I go, this one's for the dick. Right? And I'm like, if you didn't like the sixth, it doesn't, you know, if we got 5 other, like
right.
we made a couple. If you don't like this movie, we got a couple others.
I mean, there
good.
Was a certain point too where I was like, I think they're just winning this one to be mean to John Starks. Like, I would watch all those Knicks teams, and I always, because at the age we were watching this, I think I'm a little bit younger than you, but like,
I doubt that.
Hopefully. What are you? You're 35, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Guess my age.
41.
God,
you
that's
so
good.
Good. You are so
42.
Good.
42.
Yeah.
Shit, I was going to say 42.
That's so
but
close.
When this airs, you'll be 41.
Three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, there was just this feeling of like, well, we're going to win. Even if it might go 5 games, even if it goes 7, like, there was just a point where it was just mean to the Knicks.
You know what? It's like when like the Bulls playing for a championship, it was very like, you know, when we were little and you found out Tiger Woods won another tournament.
Yeah.
And then we all kind of thought that's just how golf
yes,
is. You 100%. Thought, oh, yeah, one guy dominates the way the Bulls are, like, dominating.
Oh,
and then
I
you realize, oh, teams don't dominate the right. way the Bulls dominate, and also no one wins more than one tournament usually. Right. This guy's winning.
I remember
constantly.
Being like, why can't the Cubs do this? Just do
why
what
can't the Cubs
doing?
Play basketball?
Want to go?
Let's go to the ladders.
Is it this one?
No, you said you wanted faves.
You got it.
Okay.
Real letters.
Yeah, this was handed to me.
They're all real, but that one's, you know, snail mail.
No, not even.
Is that what you mean by real letters?
Yeah, oh, like not in even your hand.
Mail. Yeah, that was passed on to you.
It was hand delivered to me.
I heard one, I think it was Judd's, where the order of your name on the letters was insulting to
yeah.
you.
Usually yeah. to him, yes.
Which I thought was...
You found it to be me most.
I thought that was funny that you were like, I kind of should be first, but you're second again. You're second again on this.
The show is, you know, if someone says pen pals, they go pen pals with Daniel and Rory. And the only reason it's like that is because I carry myself with grace and humility, and I felt bad for Daniel.
You told me when you were drunk that it's you go, I'm last because I'm the headliner.
So that's what I told myself. To feel better. That's what I started downloading in my brain. And so everyone that writes, I go, put Daniel first. Uh-huh. I know you want to put my name first, but put Daniel first. It's
I would consider that so a lovely thing.
Supportive.
You, in advance of them writing a letter, send them a letter that says, dear potential letter writer.
Hey, if you're even considering writing us, do me a favor. Let Daniel yeah. have the top spot.
PrePenPalsPod@gmail.com. Okay, that's the one you run.
PrePenPalsPod.
Daniel and Rory.
Wrong.
Handed to me after a show. I think my stand-up show in San Francisco.
Okay.
For SF Sketchfest, which was a good time.
That was yesterday, almost.
Yeah. Here we go. Ready? I can't. The guy who can't unfold paper.
And by that, I mean 2 solid months ago. 1/6 of a year.
Quick question. Stationary?
Yeah. What do you think? Stationary?
I dig it.
Is this stationary, though, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't even have a name or address.
It doesn't have to have that. That's a letterhead.
Well, whoever wears those glasses are so identifiable to their friends.
That's a good call.
That they're like, it's Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes.
You know?
Right? I mean,
that's who wrote us.
Yeah. Dear Daniel and Rory. Again,
it's me, Rosie O'Donnell.
I am fine. How are you? If my greeting caused an immediate reaction.
It did.
It is on point for my topic. Playing favorites. I have 9. So close to 10.
So close.
9 SIB-kids?
SIB kids.
SIB kids.
What does that mean?
Like siblings you helped raise, maybe?
SIB kids. Do they mean nieces and nephews?
Oh, I know. It's younger siblings who she raised herself because her mother was an alcoholic and her father was constantly at the factory.
You've read this letter. Yes. Wait, why was he constantly at the factory not working? He just didn't want
to
come home.
Jay handed it to me.
This is Jay's letter.
I wrote this letter. I wear those glasses.
We should have known.
I stole these from Rosie O'Donnell. Known.
We look
the
over.
Year
you
was 1991.
I have 9 SIB kids, 1 non-binary, 3 nephews, 5 nieces. Oh, so SIB kids, but some of them aren't even, whatever. Circumstances and distance make it so my relationships are all different. I buy the Girl Scout cookies or send gas money, but I think a lot about how some benefit more than others. I know I shouldn't keep score, but I feel guilty for being more involved with some more than others. Am I creating a problem where there isn't one? Do you ever worry about playing favorites? Your pen pal, Diana. P.S. Not to put fuel in the fire, but I put Daniel first, as we have had many a wonderful hangs. Rory, I look forward to meeting you in person. Oh, they're saying you could move up.
I have a tour coming up.
Cut to the amount of letters we got. Rory, you're special on Netflix. Daniel didn't know you before this show.
Daniel, I feel as though I still don't know you.
I look forward to meeting you in person, Rory. And then they wrote, ding, 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 ding.
So then it's done.
Which is kind of, yeah.
It's done for us.
Yep. Diana.
I think it's impossible not to play favorites. I think it's human instinct that you're going to do that. You know what I mean?
You have many siblings.
Yeah. I like maybe one or two.
So you are playing favorites. Do you have kids?
I have three children, and people often ask me, which one do you like the most?
Which is such a weird question.
I've heard some parents say it depends on the context.
But I make a strong effort not to like one of them more. I don't see the point. I mean, why would you create psychological trauma for somebody who's biologically related to you? Like, I'm like, that's my...
Could you say that to everybody's parents?
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah. Why would you create psychological
trauma? This is almost
trauma.
A bumper sticker that most people would be like, wait, well, I got to read it again.
Although, could you imagine if you were a bad parent and you saw that bumper sticker and it hit you?
You're like, oh, God.
You're like, I got to pull over.
Yeah.
I got to make
sure kids
some
calls. In the back seat. Oh, God. I got to apologize.
A lot to apologize.
But I will say that once you get older and move away, you can hide your favoritism very easily by not writing into a public podcast.
She's outed herself.
I mean, it's not rocket science.
Well, this is your letter.
To her.
What age are the kids? Was there, like?
Well, as you know, I'm only 35. However, I do have two 16-year-old daughters and an 18-year-old son.
Okay.
So here's, and I know that you've said I'm not playing favorites. So I want to pry. I want a devil's advocate. Is there any part of you that's like, I like the girls more than the boys?
It really isn't, right? Like, I could tell you that one of them is funnier than the others.
Sure. Okay, they're all, attributes.
You know, they're all, you know, one of them's taller than the others. You know, one of them's the better dancer, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're all pretty talented people.
Yeah.
They are my children.
But I've had friends who say it's contextual. Like, do I have a favorite child of mine when it comes to watching sports? Yes, because my other kid doesn't give a shit about sports.
Yeah.
So depending on what we're doing, if I'm like, hey, do you want to go eat ice cream until we get sick? There's one kid who will do that with me.
Yeah.
The other kid has no interest in that. So,
well, let me keep prying here. Let's say one of your kids is like, Dad, I want to come with you on one of your stand-up weekends. I want to go see what it's like because I like it. Don't you feel like then nature starts tugging at your heartstrings to be like, look at this, the kid that's taken after me. Now suddenly you're like making sure, let's say it's one of your daughters that she's, you're like, I make sure she's all right. We have a closer relationship because she's showing a massive interest in my life or wanting to do what I do kind of thing.
Well, I would say
this is why I have one kid.
Look, I was going to ask you. That's my follow-up to you.
You just got to jump forward to the psychiatry session 10 years later and say, I can see that pattern and I'm not going to fall into the trap.
Yeah.
You're not going to get to tell your psychiatrist that I favored one over the other.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm playing the big game, pal.
Yeah. You know what? I bet you end up having favoritism with grandkids. I bet that's what it is.
You refuse to believe that I can play this game through my age.
It's not your problem.
I refuse to believe you can be this mature.
I'll eventually fail. Eventually.
You'll crumble. There'll be a grandkid you screw up with.
In your scenario, I wonder if sometimes it does go the other way. It's like, why do you, like if a child, let's say a second child or a first child is whatever, is asking about their parent, about their sibling, saying, well, why do you always take... what do I always say, Sarah? Why do you always take Sarah ice skating? And well, Sarah loves to ice skate, and I love to ice skate. But then I think then that kid is like, well, do the thing I want to do with me. Like then you have to pick it up. But sometimes it is going the other way. If you have one child who's like, can I just come to set and just watch you direct? You by nature are going to be like, well, this kid likes
this
me
kid
more
gets it.
Than
this
the
kid
other
kid. Gets
well,
it.
This kid likes what I like more than the other kids like what I like.
Yeah.
Am I playing favorites or am I just facilitating someone who shares my interests?
And then your son is just merely out there being taller than other
right.
people.
That's right. That's all he's got. But I kind of am being even more proactive with my manipulation here because I play golf 7 days a week.
Okay. Yep.
And sometimes...
Can't have favorites if you don't ever see your children.
Well, sometimes it's raining and I'm going to the golf course. And I'll go to one of my daughters and I'm like, hey, you want to go play golf?
Yeah.
And she's like, No, no. It's raining.
It's miserable.
And I'm like, but I asked you, didn't I?
Yeah.
I asked you. Five and points. I ask them every time. I'm like, I'm going to the NBA. Want to play golf? Nobody? Nobody? Okay, yep. Bye. But I've asked him.
You and have
they can't
asked.
Be like, he was always playing golf. He did ask me to play with him.
But, yeah. You
know.
Yeah.
Anybody want to go do a punching contest? Yeah. I'm offering time
guys,
with you guys.
This is me spending
obviously no
time
face.
With you.
And we'll wear big gloves.
Yeah.
But still, just get the exercise.
Does right. anyone want to go do an Iron Man real fast?
That's right.
Just real I fast. I asked. That I was asked. Time together.
That's right.
Did you really think about that in when you guys decided to not have a second child? That you were like, we're going to love another one like this?
Yeah, I don't think that would have been. I think that would have been great.
Not love. I know love. But I just yeah. mean...
I think that would have been great. I think time and everything. It's a lot of work, you know? Even one kid is, like, a lot of work. And it's... I think about it a lot because I'm one of seven kids. And mm-hmm. so I have said to my other siblings...
Seven kid sibs?
Seven kid sibs.
Kids.
All straight up sibs.
Yeah.
Sibbies. But sib kids in the sense that I definitely helped raise a couple of them, mm-hmm. a few of them. But, yeah, I've said to my sister before, like, you know, that... You know, we you always wonder, like, did we make the right decision having one kid? Should we have had more kids? We both were, you know, had siblings. But I've also said to my sister, you know, I don't know what my life would have been like had I had one-on-one 100% attention from my dad. Like, that would have been, I don't know what our relationship would have been. It would obviously would have been wildly different. It probably would have been, like, incredibly great. And I think about that element too, where I'm like, oh, our daughter has our full attention 100% and beyond at all times. And you kind of put that in your mind to feel a little bit better. You know, she also, my daughter will constantly be like, I want a sister. And I'm just like, it's not coming. It's not
right.
happening. It's,
right,
and also right. you're almost eight. So you don't, because right. in 4 years, you're going to be like, I don't have time for this way younger kid.
Sure.
The question that we talk about in show business is like, if your father had spent more time with you, would you still be a stand-up?
Right. I wondered this too when he said it.
But I say this, my father was very nice to me and spent a lot of time with me, yeah. and I'm a stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So the answer is, might have been.
I think Will Ferrell also,
you might have been,
like,
better.
Negates that sort of rule of, like, if you do stand-up, it's got to be because of some sort of trauma. And while I do believe that is relevant and
sure.
true for some people, it's not some sort of, like, hard truth that it's like, well, then what is your trauma? Like, you must have had a bad relationship. Why else would you get into, like, stand-up? It's like, sometimes people are just funny, and they mm-hmm. they don't have a fear of performance. Mm-hmm. And those two things line
yeah.
up, and it doesn't necessarily need that third thing.
Yeah, I mean, the third thing is the human thing, which is like, I still, if I'm out on the driving range and I hit a good drive, I really want some random to be like, nice shot!
Yeah.
And it's that desire for... public love.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we maybe have a little yeah. extra public love
Lissa,
desire.
Lissa told me a story that she was at a wedding and there was like a mirror thing or something. And it was like for the wedding or some like decorative thing or whatever, some big deal. And she bumped it and it fell and it was just beyond her reach. And she caught it at the very last second before this broke, like before the wedding.
Yeah. Hero
and
time.
From across the hall, a bartender goes, that was awesome. I was too far to help you, but I saw that, and that was fucking great. And Lissa was like, I melted like...
Yeah.
I melted.
She lets go to wave, and it shatters. She, oh, my God. Thank
you. Oh, God. But yeah, that is
it's
true.
It's the desire to be a hero. I was sitting with my wife at a like, lunch,
yeah.
and these five, like, hot moms were all sitting together, and I'm, like, looking at them because I like hot moms.
Sure. Yeah.
And
who doesn't like hot moms?
But I'm, like,
moms.
Talking to my wife who's a hot mom, and yes. I'm, like, trying to pretend I'm not looking at them. And they get up, and one of them leaves their purse, and I'm, like, yes. And I go and grab the purse, and she goes, what are you doing? I'm like, she left her purse. And I walk over, and I hand it to her, and she goes, oh, my God, thank you.
Yeah.
And I come back, and my wife goes, you are so desperate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was helping her get her purse.
Yeah.
She
knows you.
Sure you were.
Yeah.
Sure you were. Just
that's called being too seen. Everyone wants to be seen, but it's always the wives who are like, you're so desperate. And you're like, God, she really
saw. I saw all the moves.
I think I see through you.
Yeah.
I was at the LAX airport. And we're walking through. They have a piano there.
Yep.
And we're walking by, and I'm like, I'm going to, 1 year from now, I'm going to come down and sit down and play the entertainer. And she goes, oh, really? You're not getting enough attention?
Oh, my God. Jay, like, you have walked into a thing Rory and I have talked about at least three times on this podcast. We were at being junior grand marshals for a Mardi Gras parade. And we are at the like pre-hang. Everybody's all dressed to the nines, right? And we're in this hotel and there's just an empty piano. And both of us at the same time, we're like, if you could just sit down here and start playing Benny and the Jets, this place,
yeah,
they would carry you people and the piano.
People would maybe skip the first part of the parade.
Right.
They'd be like, we're jamming.
We even talked about like what you were saying, where we're like, we do a thing that people sit in front of to laugh at us because here's our thing. And we still, even in this moment, are like, if you could sit down at this piano and just start.
And feel that.
Yes.
I'm going to come back on this podcast in 1 year if you'll have me, and I'm going to expect a piano, and I'm going to play Benny and the Jets.
Not the entertainer. You've moved on.
I moved on. Well, I want to be carried out of here.
I just watched The Sting last night.
The entertainer's Billy Joel? You went from Joel to
Joe? The entertainer's Scott Joplin.
Yeah.
No, I don't know that.
But we can make
this
happen.
How does it go?
It's The Sting.
I watched The Sting last night for the very first time.
Okay,
Right?
I was thinking that Billy Joel song. Didn't he have a song that's like The Entertainer?
I can actually play 2/3 of The Entertainer by Scott Joplin. But I stopped learning it before the third.
Because your wife.
And every time I play it, people are like, oh, you can play. And at that moment, I go, I don't want to play anymore. Because I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know how to play the rest.
Oh, you go. You get out. You
but
get
that
out.
Sells it. People go, I just, he didn't want to. It's not that he can. He said, he showed us he can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine if you're in a hotel lobby, everybody's having a good time. It's that sort of vibe. And they just hear, dun. People are like, what is that? Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah,
people
would
be like, put your fucking drinks down.
And as soon as you hit that second part,
pick up other people's drinks.
You hit that second part, and you've got everyone's attention. That's when you look at the bartender, and you go, come on, let's go. And they do it. They're like, what do you want?
Yes.
That's a great letter. I love that.
I don't
have any advice. I don't know what to tell you about the siblings, but
I mean, like Diana says, am I creating a problem where there isn't one? No, I think you are, because of some people's proximity to her. She's saying, I feel like there's some of my sibs that I'm like more. Yes. I don't think you need to do that, because the ones that are close, you're more day-to-day seeing what they need and being an active participant. The ones who are farther, they know they're farther. And if they call you up and go, can you please help me? I need new brakes. And you're in a position to do that, and you have the relationship where they would ask you that, you're going to do that too.
Yeah.
And those new brakes are going to equal, you know, 40 pizzas that you bought for the one who's close by.
Yeah.
Just keep the love the same. That's all I would say. Okay, I say one last thing too that's unrelated about what you guys said.
Fine.
The whole thing,
Jesus.
Some romanticize about like comics needing trauma. I'm like, no, you need drive. Trade it. You being like, I kind of got to have some sort of trauma. No, you got to have a whole bunch of fucking drive.
Yeah.
Don't worry about needing trauma. Go for drive.
Yeah.
And just keep doing that. Run your head in through that wall until you break it.
And that will give you trauma.
Yes, then you're two
then
for one.
Then you get two
you
for
get a
one.
Twofer.
Twofer.
And a little traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
Well.
Exactly. And then you can't do it at all.
Right.
Or anything.
You can't
else.
Spell right. Traumatic brain injury without trauma.
That's right.
Right. Right.
That's also a bumper sticker.
Diana, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
Rory Scovel,
and Jay Chandrasekhar.
And we're back. That was fun.
I love what you did at the end. It felt like it plateaued in a like
didn't it
hearty
feel like
way.
George Lucas's like THX.
Yes. Well done,
folks. I have a tour. It starts April 5th in Panama City Beach. Some of the
that
shows
is where you're starting. I did
we
not
added,
realize
we
this.
Added that show. We just added it.
Wait. Hold on.
I have family in Panama City Beach.
When's the last time you played Florida?
I do not ever play Florida.
I know this.
I played Tampa.
Right.
And I played Orlando.
Right.
And then I said, this is it. We're done.
I remember. We're not that's a team. Why I'm so shocked right now.
It'd be
now.
Fun to go back and play those places now with like an actual kind of
people that follow like my
question?
Comedy.
Follow up question up. While we still have you?
Yeah.
Is it Daytona or Panama City where the movie Spring Break? Have you ever seen the movie Spring Break? 1980s, very like rompy TNA. Oh, it's Jeff Garland's very uncredited first.
No, role. I haven't seen it.
There's no reason for you to have seen it. We are very odd, and we watched it two
it
nights
Fort,
in a row.
Fort Lauderdale?
Is it Fort Lauderdale or Daytona?
I think it's. I don't know. Okay. If I had to guess, I think it's Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. All right.
Anyways. Come out and see a show. RoryScovel.com is all the tickets. Some shows are selling out. We're adding second shows. So if you do want to come to a show, please go ahead and get tickets and tell everybody about it.
Yep. DanielVankirk.com. April 14th is the next Would You Rather comedy show. That's in Houston, Texas. And then I'll be at Moon Tower doing stand-up, doing a living wake, and also doing a live Dumb People Town. And then the next weekend, I think that's the 29th, I will be in Denver headlining with the Grolics. And we might throw in a Fort Collins show as well. But everything is at DanielVankirk.com. Jay. Nice.
Do I have 2 seconds to get this in?
No, you have as much time as you want.
I have 3 things to plug.
Go for it. Okay. Plug them all.
So I'll mention again, the film Quasi comes out on 420.
Yep. Love it. So watch that trailer now.
Smoke a little reefer check out our French movie, a Broken Lizard movie. And then I'm doing a bunch of stand-up dates. The link is on my Instagram. You click the link, all the tickets will come up. And it's building to my first comedy special on July 21st at Talia Hall in Chicago.
Yes. Love Talia Hall. Talia Hall is a great space.
So the 21st of July is that, but come on before
What's
then.
What's the date on that? When are you doing
July 21st.
Okay. If I'm in town, I'm going to come watch
Fantastic.
Special.
Fantastic. Yes. Tickets are available. No, I'm kidding. You got. Dude, I'll copy.
I would buy a ticket. I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
The comic best pro, the most comic supportive move is buying a ticket, but then still somehow standing in the back.
That's right.
Yeah. And be like, why is this open seat? Like, I can't sit there. I just can't.
You don't want me there in the special.
You're about to be at Madison, Wisconsin, aren't you? Or will you have just been there?
I just got back from Madison.
How was it?
Incredible.
God, the best club.
I mean, in the past Future Machine, 2 of the shows are sold out. And three are still. But those things sold really well, apparently,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I built an app with 2 guys called Vouch Vault.
Oh, wow.
I got so pissed off at Rotten Tomatoes for giving Super Troopers a 35% fresh rating.
Sure. Yeah.
I was like, who are these reviewers? Mm-hmm. And do they even like R-rated comedies? And I was like, you know, they're really just strangers. Like, do they smoke weed? Do they like
Is
R-rated
it for
movies?
Them?
Yes.
There's a subjectivity to it.
I built an app that were with 2 guys, Eli Saz and Eric Colbert, and we made an app. It's basically the Instagram of recommendations. So you follow people, and you'll see that I like Reservoir Dogs, and you see I like the band Dawes, and
it's anything,
golf courses, red wine, anything you like.
Oh, I like that.
You just put it down, and so you can, and it's a memory machine, so you can go back, put the Spring Break movie in. Your kids can go, oh, he likes Spring Break, I'll watch that. Yeah. Anything great, you put it in, Vouch Vault.
I like that.
And then I'm sure over time,
I like that name, too.
I would come to know that maybe somebody like you is a person who a lot of the things you vouch for, I like.
That's right.
So then you kind of, I love this. You pull together
idea.
If they're into it, I'm probably into it.
Yeah. What's the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes? It's got to be high.
Okay. 87? Super Troopers has a 35% fresh rating from 90 critics, and the audience score from 250,000 people is 90% fresh.
Yeah, exactly. That's all. Every time someone talks about Rotten Tomatoes, they're like, what's the audience score?
Yeah, well,
like, what is the audience
Rotten
think?
Tomatoes is named for throwing rotten fruit at people like us.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, they're in the...
I'm coming for them.
Yeah. They're in the business of making money, which is why more so than probably accurately reviewing things. So I'm like, the idea that some studio wouldn't go, well, we're going to give you X amount of money to even maybe just hold some of these reviews and this rating until after our opening weekend, that is well within the realm of possibility in my...
That sounds corrupt.
And it hasn't slowed down the movie making. So, I mean, whatever score.
No, look,
obviously,
we're still making movies, but it's like we put a lot of effort in to make these R-rated, dirty, smart movies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, for example, I know we're over time, but there, in Arizona, there was a woman, she had a site called Grandma's Reviews. And when Beer Fest came out, she wrote her negative review in the Rotten Tomatoes score. Mm-hmm. And it said, I didn't like Beer Fest because I thought there was too much drinking.
Yeah,
and I'm like, Grandma, it's, Beer Fest is an ode to binge drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an ode.
Yeah. It's the whole thing. It's what it is.
Maybe you should have never gone to see it.
It's not your movie.
Yeah.
And also, the R-rated comedy is the, what I would say in the past 20 years has been affected the most in terms of production. Because, like, today, Hangover is not getting made. And even if it is getting made, it is not getting that distribution. The R-rated movie is just so...
You hang on, because Warner Brothers is apparently wants to make hard R theatrical comedies.
Yeah, hard,
really?
Hard R is back.
That's right.
Oh, this makes me so happy.
Right. It's back. And it should be back. It's fun. They're so fun.
It's that makes me so happy. I
am in the middle of writing a movie. It's a Scottish golf trip movie that turns into basically The Hangover.
Yeah.
It's called The Golf Trip, and we're about 40-50 pages in, but it is going to be a hell humdinger.
I cannot wait in line, to see you on set when we start shooting.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Because you'll need a lot of background.
Absolutely.
You're going to need crafty.
Rory, it's us for some reason constantly in a shot.
Jay has to pull me aside, and he's like, we can't eat shepherd's pie anymore, dude. We're over it, dude. Your Guinness.
I would love it if we're background and people are like, these two guys must be sprinting from hole to hole. They are constantly next to the tee box.
They're there again.
Guys, coach.
They have no outfit change, nothing.
And due to legal reasons, we can't say it, so we're like, boo, boo, baba. Boo, boo, baba. They're like, it was illegal. They couldn't.
They couldn't say baba booey.
Yeah. Boo, boo, baba.
Boo, boo, baba. You had to come up with a new one.
You want to go?
Right, let's go.
Okay. Where is it?
All right, great. Here we go.
Another one.
Hi, friends. See, that's peaceful.
Yeah.
And it includes you. They didn't even know you'd be here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, darn it, I'm mad. Why? Because I just watched a movie that had House of the Rising Sun playing over a scene, just like a bazillion trillion other movies. At this point, I wish that the song would have never been written.
Whoa, easy.
It's a little strong.
Yeah.
But I get it. They're mad.
Okay.
If you could delete 3 songs from existence, so this is sort of a reverse Vouch Vault, from existence, what would they be? Here are my choices. 1, House of the Rising Sun by The Animals, so that no movie could ever use it.
Mm-hmm.
2, Wagon Wheel, Old Crow Medicine Show / Bob Dylan.
/ Darius
Love
Rucker.
That
/
song.
Darius so Rucker. That no band of 20-something new age bluegrass hippies could play it on the street and act like they're performing a fucking magnum opus.
Wow.
3, We Are Young by Fun, because it's the worst, most annoying thing that's ever been written, and it's everywhere.
Love that song, too.
I know. I got a lot. I don't want you to delete
these. Well,
that's
why. They're sick of hearing these beloved songs.
Sorry for the negativity. On a more positive note, lately I can't stop eating grapefruit.
How weird
is that?
We have grapefruit here today, fresh grapefruit that I brought in. I have one.
And
for
he
you
never
too,
does that.
Like it.
I've never brought in grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
Okay. There you go.
The band?
Well, I don't know. They said delete something.
I can't stop eating grapefruit. I've been eating probably 3 a day I don't know that that's healthy.
That's a lot.
3 a day for the past few weeks. That's a lot of acid. Have you guys ever gone through a phase of obsessing over a specific food for weeks on end? Sincerely, not signed.
First, you know my favorite thing in this? Sorry for the negativity, because they get us.
We
tend to not dwell there much.
I
will go down this road. I've got songs.
Can I throw out one real quick?
Yes.
Yeah. We can't do the military montage with CCR anymore. It's just
Fortunate Son?
We can't do it. Yeah. It's happened. It was good.
Okay.
Great.
And we relayed it. We go,
Forrest Gump, that with that,
those make sense. But then if you make a movie and you also do that, you just did a thing that literally, it's literally like doing someone's joke verbatim kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like when the man used to dress as a woman to fool the family, and they would cook something in the kitchen and they put on the song, I feel good. No.
Trope. Too much of a trope.
It is. It's too much of a trope. That. So if we each get three, that's number one for me.
Well, I would just go.
I don't want to delete that song, but I want to delete that use.
If I'm deleting songs, I'm deleting songs I hate, and the song I hate the most,
the national anthem. Yeah, that's always been you. This is where we lose so many listeners.
I don't like songs about war. I don't like songs about war. Other than song War, what is it good
for? I just
thought
Francis Scott Key should have been more involved in the battle instead of up there writing a poem.
I'm an America Beautiful guy.
What? I mean, truly, when someone's like, hey, Francis, where were you? We took a lot of fucking bullets. He's like, I wrote a poem.
Wait till you guys
so bad. So, guys, I'm putting this in my act. I'm claiming this for
and
my
then,
act. You guys heard it here first.
But here's the great thing, and you should do this on stage, is it wasn't just a poem. He was like, okay, I'm going to read this, guys. And they're like, fine. And
we're
he's like,
a lot of us are bleeding still.
And he's like, yeah, but the flag's still up. And actually, that's going to play a role into this.
And then some people were like...
still pretty torn. It's up. It was up when I wrote it. Okay. And then they're like, okay. And Francis is like, also, don't stop me, but I'm going to sing it. And then people were like, is it written for singing? Not really, but I think if you kind of hit the highs and the lows in the right
I don't think
point,
Mike's breathing anymore. He's like, can we not talk about Mike for a second? It just, oh, say can you see? He can't. He's had so much blood.
He could see when I wrote this. He's blind.
God, birth of a joke right there. What song do you hate? What song do you hate?
Mambo Number 5.
Classic.
I loathe
that was
this
our
song.
Wedding song.
Shut up.
That was our first dance.
All these other women that are in your life. A little bit of.
They were all there.
All
when
your
I
exes
finally committed.
And you changed the words.
I lived it out.
I
know what you mean.
It is akin to sounds that make people like that song. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate that song.
Yep.
And it's popular enough that you do catch it a couple times a year somewhere, whether, you know, a little, like, I don't know, the Shoe Palace or walking through a CVS or something. And I just, no
Shoe
thanks.
Palace is very specific. So we know that
don't you
that
feel
definitely
like that's
happened.
A,
you were there. You were like, I'm out.
Yeah, I feel like it.
You end up leaving because of it.
If you are going to go, though, like overused in movies,
sure.
Paint It Black is, I would be fine if they're like, yeah, we just can't use paint. We're not getting rid of it. But it can't be
Stop.
Used in movies anymore.
Same with the CCR. Yeah. What's your number one choice?
Do you have a song you just?
Well, was the I Feel Good Not
Oh,
good
that
enough?
One. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
No, we want more. You have to do four.
I was so proud that we all came up with one, and I'm like, two.
No, you're
I have
right.
To come up with two.
All right, one of you has. I don't have a second one right off the dome.
I don't have a second one, but I did go through several food jogs.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, you know, and this is sort of related to, like, when I was in second grade, I wore all brown shirt, brown pants, brown socks, brown shoes.
Yeah.
And my mom is like,
Roar.
And so why did you do that?
I don't know, but you look at my second grade picture.
All brown?
All brown. And I'm brown.
Like a UPS man?
Yeah, I'm brown. What can brown do for you?
Nothing.
His main thing, he doesn't like brown suits at night.
I don't like when men wear brown at night.
I was second grade.
I've talked to a lot of stylists about this.
I forgave you before
well,
you said it.
You're going to like this.
I've talked to a lot of stylists about this, by the way.
In third grade, I went all blue.
Okay.
It's because you're an artist.
You're colorblind.
You have an artist brain.
You're all blue right now.
Yes.
I'm all blue right now.
But it's great. It's a great
great bumper
you're
sticker.
You're an artist.
Another great bumper sticker. Yeah. I'm all blue right now.
But during that period when I was in like second to third grade, I started eating, I'd make my mom buy two or three slabs of bacon at once. And I would cook a half slab for breakfast and I'd burn it. Uh-huh. Then I'd eat a half slab for lunch and then I'd eat a full slab for dinner. And I did that for a long time. And my parents are both doctors. They're like, go at you. And
where did that come from?
I don't know. I would eat like, then it switched to Wonder Bread. I would eat like a fourth of the Wonder Bread for breakfast, a fourth for lunch, and then the other half for dinner.
And now you're at an age where you finally like a full BLT. Like you're finally committed.
I went through a lettuce stage.
Then I went through a tomato phase. Right. Yeah, it was cherry. I mean, it was romaine.
Now, this is pretty young in life. In college or later on in life, did you have times where you were just like, I'm just eating this?
Well, when I was an ice cream man, which...
Okay, hold on.
Let's go ahead and say burying the lead.
I know.
You should have said that before I introduced your name. That should have been your credit.
That should be in my bio. I was a Good Humor ice cream man. And
oh, my God.
Good Humor?
And yes. And so I would drive around, and I'm like, I was 19.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody's watching me.
Yeah.
And sure. So I'm going to eat McDonald's breakfast, and then I'm going to eat lunch, and then I'm going to eat a dinner.
Oh, my God. You were the original supersize man.
Yes. I just went and went and went, and yeah. I was like, you know.
What was
at
your
19,
order?
Your body can break it down, though. Like, yes. If you did that now, you'd be dead in a week.
I probably would.
What
probably
was your
would.
Order?
I know I would.
It was a quarter pounder plain.
Ooh.
And my friend, VK, he liked it. He liked it with cheese, and he would call it QP on the sly.
I like that.
That's
like
with
that
cheese.
Too. That sounds cool.
That's with cheese.
What were you doing, egg McMuffin?
In the morning, I would do a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
You know, at least one.
Ugh, the egg McMuffin has stood the test of time.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Good. They crushed it. They got it right.
Incredible.
The ham on there.
Ugh. I went through a time in my life where I was eating as much Cheerios and 2% milk as I could.
I did that too.
Are you talking Honey Nut?
Nope.
Did that too.
You're talking plain
Cheerios.
Cardboard.
Maybe sometimes I'd throw a banana in there, but that was as far as I got with
cardboard.
You did too?
Me too. Cheerios. It's perfect. But I went full milk, but yes.
It's just perfect.
Honey Nut or just plain?
Plain.
Why plain?
It's so good. I love
There's something
what
magical.
What is the attraction?
There's something magical about that plain
something
ass
like
taste.
Rock steady about it. That it's just like,
it's
this
cardboard.
Is the flavor. No.
It's cardboard.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I could see you saying that.
It's cardboard. You don't get us, Cheerio folks. You don't get Cheerios. I get on kicks of certain foods all the time, but I got to say that I this is more specific and not so much in the past. It's actually in the present. I cannot stop going to this Thai street food place in Pasadena, and I've gone so much. I was there one time. These two women were at a table, and one of them was like, I came to one of your Monday night shows at Elysian.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, nice. And we chatted and talked about it. And then we found out that she was there because my friends brought her. So we now have mutual friends.
Sure.
And I get to
That's
the
how
end
you
of
get
meal.
Most of your crowd, right?
Yep. I just go door to door like restaurants.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Somebody please bring somebody else, please.
Yeah.
Please.
It's called like, it's extended barking.
Yeah.
So then I said to the waitress, I go, I want to get their lunch. And so I pay for their lunch, and then she like announces it after I pay. She goes, "He paid for your lunch."
Oh, jeez.
And I go, "Oh, that's not how I wanted that to unfold."
Right.
And then the next time I was there, she goes, "So you're a comedian?" And I was like, "Yeah. How do you know that?" And she was like, "Those the women." And this is now like a week, 2 weeks. She goes, "Those women that you pay for their lunch." She goes, "They told me that you do stand up." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I do." I go, "That's great. I can't believe you remember me." And she goes, "You're in here all the time."
Yeah, it's a thing. I already know you. Yeah. I just now know you do stand up.
Yeah. You're
what do you order? Are you always
every day?
Are you always
they
ordering
have a duck noodle
thing?
Soup? So good.
Duck
they have
noodle
a,
soup.
I think it's chow mein.
So you're not getting the same thing every time.
I don't ever do this at restaurants. When I find something I like, I usually just get that forever, and I never find out that there's other glorious things.
Sure.
For some reason, at this restaurant, I had tried two different things, and they were both good, and my brain locked it in to go, let's keep going until we find something we don't like, and it has not happened. It's so good. Delicious.
I'm very uncharacteristic of me, too, to do that as well.
I used to go to this place called the Bowery, and they had this blue cheeseburger with crispy bacon,
here
raw
in town?
Onion, tomato. Yeah, it was on
Sunset, right?
It was on Sunset.
Yeah,
and I used to go there a lot.
Oh yeah,
and I'd go there after work, and I would do my shot list, and I'd tell my wife that I was still at work, and then I'd walk in having had two vodka sodas, and then I'd have two glasses of wine because they were the first two glasses of wine after work. My wife would think, So
yeah, that's the life.
I would eat this blue cheeseburger over and over and over.
Yeah.
And I finally, I'm like, we were going to the Arclight. I'm like, let's go to that place, the Bowery. And I walk in, right? And the waitress walks up and puts a vodka soda down. And she goes, blue cheeseburger? I'm like, Yeah.
That is scripted.
And your wife is like, why did she know that? And you're like, I don't even remember in Super Troopers, my character said that he loved blue cheeseburgers.
That is so scripted. That is
that's literally a sitcom. That's multi-cam.
That's an entire B story beat in like a Modern Family episode. Yeah. That is so perfect.
That's right.
I want to ask you about the music thing.
But then what you're not saying is then the waitress full-on French kissed him. And that's what really upset his wife.
Oh, we can't do this anymore? Because you guys,
I was mad about the burger and the vodka soda. You're sleeping with these people.
No, I'm not sleeping. We just kissed.
We kissed when I'm here.
It's how they do things.
It's not that big of a deal.
You know what? You're the weird one.
It's called saying hello to someone with affection.
Yeah, it's French kissing. Yeah. It's friendly.
It's Kathy, okay? Her name is Kathy.
The television you've done and the movies that you've done, when you are going to say like, oh, let's get a song for this, do you often go, well, we can't do blank because it's so popular for this? Or like, does that factor in your mind of like how it's been used before?
Well, what you're looking for is a rhythm.
Okay.
And so you put in whatever the Rolling Stones tune is and you're like, I need something this ass kicking from a rock and roll perspective in this general rhythm.
Mm-hmm. That's affordable.
Know. Yeah, and find something newer and hipper.
Yeah.
And then we'll put that song on and then we'll kind of edge up the cuts a little bit to fit that rhythm. But it's basically the rhythm you're looking for.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I wrote a pilot once that ended with the song is I'm Not Sure Hank Did It That Way. It's an
old song. I love that song.
Yes. And it was my biggest regrets not
Waylon?
The word. It is Waylon. My biggest thing about that pilot not getting
music
made
library
is I wanted to see that ending sequence with that fucking song. Like that's what I was so jazzed about it.
Yeah, it's painful.
Yes.
I mean I shot the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes.
I'm the one who came up with the idea to put the Confederate flag on the roof. That was me.
That was you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now. I didn't need to say it, but
he's our guest. Just to bring you up to speed, he's our guest today.
Fun. No, but there was a car chase in the middle of it in Atlanta, and in my mind, when we were shooting the car chase, I'm like, let's set it to Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin.
Love it.
And it's got that incredible drum beat thing. Mm-hmm. And so we cut the scene, and we cut it to Whole Lot of Love. And so the music supervisor, I'm like, we ain't get a price on that thing.
And he goes, 500,000.
Can we guess?
No.
Can we
more?
Guess?
More?
Guess? If he said higher? No to 500, it's got to be higher. If he said the way.
A million.
A million.
A million. And so.
A Super Bowl ad.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting in the edit room and the president, Jeff Robinoff of Warner Brothers, knocks on the door. He goes, hey, can I come in? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I heard there's some song in one of these car chases. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, let me take a look. And so I'm like, okay. So I play it for him and it kicks ass. Yeah. I mean, it's fucking magical. Yeah. And at the end of it, he goes, how much? And I said, a million. He goes, all right.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you know what, dude? Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And so I say to the music supervisor, I'm like,
no one has that story.
Yeah.
No one.
It gets worse.
Oh.
So.
They have the I got fired.
It turns worse, okay. Right? So I say to the music supervisor, we got it. $1 million. And she goes, really?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. She goes, okay, let's go. And so the music supervisor calls up the Led Zeppelin people.
Yeah.
And they said, they're like, we'll give you $1 million. And they're like, what? Okay, great. Jimmy Page, amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Plant.
Robert. Plant. I'll do it too. Right?
Okay.
John Paul Jones goes, what did Plant say? And he said, yes. And he goes, I'm out. Actually, he said, I'm out. And it's the reason is because Plant said about John Paul Jones, he parked the cars in Led Zeppelin. And he never let him fucking get over it. And for $250,000, he goes, meep.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
And so we didn't get to use it. Now, we did get to use this incredible AC/DC song, and we got to use an incredible ZZ Top song, LaGrange.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And I got to know Billy Gibbons and, the AC/DC guys who are like, big Broken Lizard fans, and that was all great.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
that was all great. But Yeah,
but that's pretty cool, you know, that Warner Brothers was like, all right, we like it. We'll so give cool. it to you. That's so cool. you don't, that is that, wonderful. That's what I mean. Like, nobody's got the story where somebody came in and was like, oh, yeah, it does look good. Well, you're yeah. right. Let's do it. You're like,
in my mind,
that's so artistic to get it, you know?
No, get yeah. it, but like, because in my mind, if the president yeah. is coming in, it's to tell you no.
Yeah.
Like, they want you, yeah. he's like, I will tell them no. Yeah.
And this that will the be deadline the, has moved up.
And this will be the end of the conversation. So the yes, and also, like, to your credit of, like, shoot it, edit it, produce it, then let's get our no. Because they needed then to see it. Yeah. yeah, they need to see it to, like,
yeah.
see, to feel the artistry of it.
Yeah, it's magical.
Yes.
Magical.
Yeah.
When it's still great. Look, it's still great. I still love it. But mm-hmm. that one version of it is magical.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I don't have, I'm trying to think of another
song.
Song. There's definitely like a oh, you know what? The is it Joni Mitchell, like, they pave paradise and yeah, put up a park. I can't take it anymore. It comes on too often.
There's a Christmas song.
I
that's
can't
like,
take it.
I don't know what it's like. It's You're going just into that Christmas over music. And over. I am fine. Yeah, Lissa knows. Where's your mic today?
That does suck.
Get us sued proper. Hit it, Liss.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. There it is. This one Wait, what? Year. You wanted that.
Well, I know, but I appreciate her ability. I just...
It's called Christmas rapping.
That's what it's called?
Ugh. I like that.
Yeah. No, I'm...
Yeah,
I'm
mine
okay
is the Joni Mitchell song. So now those are my two.
Now you have two. Now we have to come up with two?
Now you guys gotta got to come two. Up with one more. Wait, what? Oh, yours is Christmas. Yeah, you got to get a second one now.
Come on, Jay.
I
think it's something you hate hearing at a wedding.
At a wedding. Oh, it's got to be a Huey Lewis in the News
Whoa.
Thing.
Controversial.
I thought you were going to go Butterfly Kisses. Mm.
So is that your third?
It would be my third. I am fine with
Very
it.
Telling when you try to give someone one. You're like, so is that yours?
I just thought of it all of a sudden. I was like my Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Butterfly Kisses.
We don't need that.
Yeah, you're right.
Butterfly Kisses. Butterfly Kisses is a companion piece to I Go Walking in Memphis, right?
Yeah.
Don't they just feel like the guy the guy at karaoke who has two songs, they're that.
They're that.
If he's doing one of those, he's doing the other.
Yeah. I don't know what a third one is for me. You got anything?
No, I'm still working on second.
I know.
I didn't even get a Huey Lewis song because you guys reacted so poorly.
You should still. It's your. You
it's
live,
yours.
Yeah, you live.
I like Huey Lewis. I like I My Angel as a centerfold. Imagine if you're dating a woman and then it turns out she was a centerfold. You're like, wow, that's a surprise.
That's Jay Giles. That's Jay Giles,
man. You think that would have come up?
That's
right?
Jay Giles.
Yeah.
Not even Huey
My
Lewis.
My blood runs cold. The Boys Are Back in Town gets used a lot in
Well,
movies
but
too.
That's in that great movie, 48 Hours. In my view, the greatest movie of all time.
Really?
Yes. Another 48 Hours or 48 Hours?
The first 48 Hours.
48
and
hours.
I never saw another 48 Hours because I couldn't stand being disappointed, and I didn't know if it would disappoint me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I never saw it.
Hmm. Okay.
Fair enough.
All right.
Did you?
I never saw either of them.
Holy Christmas.
What? I know. This that actually makes me really
surprise.
Excited.
The first 48 Hours is... Did I say it's the greatest movie of all time?
It's you.
In your Vouch Vault. So,
it
yeah.
is. Number one.
Well,
is Vouch Vault, can we download it now?
That's what I was just going to ask.
It's in the
God,
App Store.
You and I.
We got about something like 9,000 people on it right now.
Oh, so it's happening. It's out
it's
there.
It's moving, guys.
I'm in. Right, Vouch I'm Vault. In. Vouch I'm Vault.
I'll get you verified.
I'm going to get it. You mean that?
I'm the boss.
Yay. Oh, my God.
Well, are along with kidding? Eric and Eli, I'm the boss.
Are you gonna,
I have to call them and say, can you verify these guys?
And they go, I'm out. I'm out. No.
This is a horrible name.
Rory Scovel once said, I park the cars for Vouch Vault.
I would park the car. So would he. We want to be background on your golf thing. I, for a long time, this is not the title because it's a horrible title, but I always wanted an app called If This Then That, essentially. If you like this Mexican restaurant, you will like this. So the thing is anytime you go to a place, you go there like, I've never eaten here before. Let's see if it's in If This Then That. And you bring it up and people go, oh yeah, there that place we do like, people have said we'd also like this one. And so it's a vouching. It's the same thing.
I love it.
Yeah. So you always could go, well, if you like this movie, you'll probably like this movie. And you'll always know that the thing you don't know about, other people have recommended based off something you do know about.
Can we have that?
You and I can talk about it 100%.
We can talk about it.
Yeah, I like that.
We started an app 4 years ago that we've done nothing with called Pleasantries. That's a whole other
deal. That's right. Are you going to direct your special?
No.
Oh, gosh.
I just feel like the name, you know, putting your name, like I'm in movies and I direct
you're
in them.
It, you're writing it, you're
I
directing
edit
it.
Edit them. Edit it. And
you'll
so
probably edit your special.
Trying to, oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm in the Editor's Guild.
Yeah.
I just try to like kick my name off it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm
that's
gonna
very interesting.
I'm going to set the cameras.
That's not a lot of people are trying to get their name off of things.
I just, you know, I know somebody at home is like, this asshole again.
Yeah.
Because I have been that guy at home. I'm like, oh, really, Costner? You did all four of them, did you?
It would be great, though, in between jokes. It would be great in between jokes, just on an earpiece. You are like, camera one, go camera one. And two on standby, two, go two, go two.
You're doing a Nutty Professor, but behind the camera.
Anyway, I said all that stuff on the app to say how excited I genuinely am to download this.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
If this, then that.
I don't have a third, and I don't care.
It's okay.
This is a great letter. I love. I know it's negative, but it is fun to be like, what are the things that we do?
And on the
get
Patreon, this is ripe for us to remember the ones we didn't say and other people to say them in.
Yeah.
So that's penpalspod@gmail.com or mail us your snail mail that you talked about. I meant to say that earlier. Care of the Pen Pals Podcast, 5419 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite C, number 121, Los Angeles, California.
90027.
You botched that address like nobody's business.
Yeah. He usually nails it.
Sweet
very
C 121.
Sweet C number 121.
Yeah, come on.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna get kicked off background. I'm not gonna get my.
We're
voucher.
Doing take two.
We're actually good on golf trip. So.
The letters from Cameron, I just screwed up. And
oh, Cameron. Cameron, great Cameron. Letter. We didn't say it before, but Cameron, we're saying it now. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Roy Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk,
and Jay Chandrasekhar.
Pen Pals is produced by Lissa Rubin and engineered and mixed by Chad Bouchard. Our artwork was created by Jeffrey Tice, and our theme music is by Patrick Keenan of The Winter Sounds.
You can follow Pen Pals on Twitter and Instagram at The Pen Pals Pod. You can see all of that content thanks to Caitlin Bordini, who runs our social media.
Head to youtube.com/Daniel Van Kirk Comedy to watch these episodes absolutely free, and subscribe to patreon.com/penpals for only $5. You can listen to a follow-up letter every week, and you'll be the first to hear all upcoming Pen Pals news.
But the easiest way to support the show is to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell everyone you know about your two favorite cackling idiots. #GrowTheShow.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people, and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.